From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. On the electoral map of the U.S., Kansas is usually solid red, deeply Republican. But a zealous GOP revolution in state policy in recent years under Governor Sam Brownback has gone too deep even for many Republicans. In next month's midterms, the GOP may take the U.S. Senate, but they can't count on Kansas. Its Senate seat is a toss-up. Stalwart state GOP politicians have turned on Republican Governor Sam Brownback and are backing his Democrat opponent. Wow, this hour On Point, big GOP trouble in the deep red state of Kansas. The Kansas story. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you been watching Governor Brownback's Starve the Beast small government experiment? Do you think it's worked? And we're especially calling all Kansans this hour. Tell us about your state politics now. Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Here's a campaign ad from August. Republican Governor of Kansas, Sam Brownback, saying he's improved the economy of Kansas during his time in office. The sun is shining.
We've got over 50,000 new private sector jobs.
Record number of people working.
We're putting more money in public education.
One of the lowest unemployment rates in America. The sun is shining in Kansas, and don't let anybody tell you any different.
All sunshine, a lot of people aren't buying it. At a gubernatorial debate in September, Kansas Democrat Paul Davis said Governor Brownback's tax experiment, tax cuts, have only damaged the state's economy.
Look at where we are at right now. The governor's own Council of Economic Advisors several months ago documented that we are trailing the states in our region in virtually every economic indicator there is. Our credit rating has been downgraded three times. We're 45th in the nation in new business creation. In 2013, more businesses closed up shop than opened shop. It's because we have an economic experiment that isn't working.
All trouble there. And here, Dick Bond, former Kansas Senate president, lifelong Republican, at a press conference in Topeka in July, saying he'll back the Democrat in the governor's race. He said he didn't take that lightly. It's time to return, he said, to traditional Kansas conservatism. He warned the audience, he said, Governor Brownback would try to mislead voters about who's to blame for the mess the state is in now.
He wants to blame the mess in Kansas on Barack Obama. From our stalled economy, to his ill-advised tax policy, to our struggling schools, K through 12 and higher ed, and maybe even to the Kansas drought. But the only person to blame for this mess is Sam Brownback.
Lifelong Kansas Republican Dick Bond. Later in this hour, we will hear from the Wall Street Journal's Washington Bureau Chief Gerald Seib, himself a Kansan, on the national significance of the Kansas topsy-turvy political scene. But first, to Kansas. Joining us now from Topeka, Kansas, is Bob Beatty, professor of political science at Washburn University, regular political columnist for the Topeka Capital Journal and KSNT, the NBC affiliate in Topeka. Bob Beatty, thank you very much for being with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Tom.
And with us from Lawrence, Kansas, is Wint Winter, Jr., Republican state senator from 1982 to 92, a registered Republican from an old Kansas Republican family, CEO of the family-owned People's Bank. He's a founding member of Republicans for Kansas Values and a member of Traditional Republicans for Common Sense, both groups of current, former Kansas Republicans, legislators opposed to the policies of the incumbent Republican Governor Sam Brownback. Senator Winter, if I may pull out your old title, Wint Winter, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for joining us.
Tom, great to be here.
Bob Beatty, let me come first to you. How do you, for a national audience that may not be tuned in on Kansas, describe what happened here? What's gone on? What's got Kansas politics so upside down?
Well, everybody thinks that Kansas is such a red state, and according to voter registration, of course, it's a Republican state. And the big question, though, and the question we'll see the answer to in November is it a super conservative state? And quickly, what happened was in 2006, the Democrats in Kansas actually did quite well. Of course, Kathleen Sebelius was elected governor along with some other Democrats who won. And in 2008, Barack Obama won the presidential election. So when 2010 hit, Kansas Republicans probably were feeling there's a few too many Democrats elected nationally and in Kansas. So when Sam Brownback came back to run for the governorship, it was a very easy victory for him. And a number of other statewide office holders who were Republicans won, including Chris Kobach, who's very well known. He won as Secretary of State. So the Republicans came back into power in 2010. But the big difference in terms of Kansas history is that Sam Brownback is a conservative Republican and a modern conservative Republican. And so going back to 1960, where I look at Kansas governors, he's by far the most conservative governor in the modern Kansas history. And so Governor Brownback was arguing that Kansas is a very, very conservative state, and he was going to show the rest of the country how to, you know, a conservative state could be governed, could change, and could succeed. And he has been very, very successful. There's just no question about that in terms of what he has accomplished in the last 4 years. It's actually amazing. He had goals that included privatization, very deep tax cuts, and also goals of resisting Washington, D.C. And then he may not have had these other goals, but a number of conservative causes also sprouted up that he signed into bills that the legislature latched onto. So you had, as you mentioned, sort of a conservative revolution in a state, and I want your listeners to understand this, that in the last 53 years, 28 of those years have had Democratic governors. 26 of those years have been Republican governors. So this was a huge change. And so the big question in Kansas really is Governor Brownback the anomaly, or is this a change in direction for the state historically?
Give us a little more sense. And Winter, I want to come to you here. But Bob, give us a little more sense of that conservative revolution as you describe it. On taxes, on spending, give us some numbers. What has it looked like?
Well, first of all, I'll quickly mention privatization was an early goal. So privatization of arts funding for the state, privatization, the complete overhaul and privatization of the Medicaid system in the state of Kansas and the child support collection system. In terms of tax cuts, there was tax cuts enacted that cut the income taxes for business owners completely.
To zero.
To zero. And this was part of Governor Brownback's what he called a glide path to zero to cut all income taxes down the road for every Kansan. And this was going to be modeled after the state of Texas. And also this idea of resisting Washington, D.C. / big government. So the legislature passed laws, anti-federal gun laws, obviously anti-Obamacare type aspects such as not expanding Medicaid, refusing the money to set up the computerized healthcare exchanges, fighting the EPA on something involving the lesser prairie chicken and protection of that. That became a big deal. And also fighting in sometimes very small grants from the federal government or just refusing to take them, changing the system of how judges are picked in Kansas to get rid of the, quote, activist judges. Now, the effect of all this is, of course, I mean, to give you an example, Governor Brownback brought in Arthur Laffer from the Ronald Reagan days, the kingpin of trickle-down economics. And he actually testified to the Kansas legislature that cutting taxes will spur economic growth. Of course, Laffer did it at the national level back with Ronald Reagan days, and he was advocating at the state level. And so the upshot is in the last year or so, revenues have been down, and there is now a projected $260 million budget shortfall because the tax cuts have not produced that economic boom in terms of tax collections that was predicted.
Bob Beatty, stand by. Wint Winter, our Republican in Lawrence, Kansas, longtime Republican there, now looking the other way in this gubernatorial race. How would you describe, Mr. Winter, the outcome of Sam Brownback's what Arthur Laffer called revolution in the cornfield?
Was a crash. Governor Brownback's experiment, and by the way, he used that term. I suppose now he wishes he hadn't, but the experiment simply backfired. As Bob says, we have, as a result of his experiment, we have deficit spending, We've had our credit downgraded by Wall Street, identifying that we have structural imbalances in our taxes and spending. Mm-hmm. He's cut education. We have job stagnation in six of the seven surrounding states of Kansas. Six of those states are doing better than Kansas is in job growth and wage growth, et cetera. So the simple fact of the matter is that Sam Brownback's idea of an experiment was bad judgment. It was not just conservative. It was extreme. And I don't know whether he really intended to starve the beast, but that's where we're headed.
We're headed to more than
$1.3 billion of deficits in the next 4 years.
Governor Brownback essentially says, stand by. It's still coming. Just wait. Have faith. What do you say, Mr. Winter?
My faith is gone. And I think the people in Kansas who have had their school classroom spending cut don't have faith. Those people who watch other states and watch their job growth significantly better than us, they don't have faith. Wall Street doesn't have faith. It just hasn't worked. The difference between Sam Brownback and Ronald Reagan, he claims to be a Ronald Reagan conservative. In 1981, Ronald Reagan did enact very big federal income tax cuts, but he backed off of that, and 11 times after that, Ronald Reagan allowed some revenue increases.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about big GOP troubles in the deep red Republican state of Kansas. A big Democratic tradition there, too, but lately it's been a big experiment in kind of purist, hard right policies, and it's got the GOP and the state, many say, in trouble. Bob Beatty is with us, professor of political science at Washburn University, with us from Topeka, Kansas. Wint Winter is here, Republican state senator, state senator from 82 to 92, now a founding member of Republicans for Kansas Values and traditional Republicans for Common Sense. Both groups of current and former Republicans opposed to the policies of the incumbent Republican Governor Sam Brownback. Here was Governor Brownback in 2012 signing into law, had just signed a large controversial income tax cut, which he said would increase jobs, stimulate the Kansas economy. He explained his plan to MSNBC's Morning Joe.
On taxes, you need to get your overall rates down, and you need to get your social manipulation out of it, in my estimation, to create growth. We'll see how it works. We'll have a real live experiment. We're right next to some other states that haven't lowered taxes. The area of Kansas City is, I think, the largest urban area in the country that's shared between two states. You'll get a chance to see how this impacts a particular experimental area, and I think Kansas is going to do well.
A real-life experiment. Right now, many not so sure about that. Governor Brownback, the latest polls show him at risk, real risk of losing his seat, and Republicans may lose the U.S. Senate seat of Senator Pat Roberts as well. This goes to who may have a majority in the U.S. Senate after the midterms. His former Kansas State Board of Education member and a member of Republicans for Kansas Values in July saying Kansas schools should be sacrosanct and that it's in education where Governor Brownback's policies have been the most, she says, devastating.
In his very first legislative session, he made the largest cut to our schools in state history and then had the nerve to call it a victory for our state. And during the next 3 years, he has neglected our schools, instead putting his own personal political agenda before our kids.
Carol Roop Linens there from the Kansas State Board of Education, another member of Republicans for Kansas Values. Wint Winter, Bob Beatty, we've got calls from Kansas, Wichita, Kansas. John, thanks for calling. You're on the air, John.
How you doing, Tom?
All right. What do you see?
Everything the last caller said is absolutely true. I just got out of the military, Army, and our economy is just absolute toast here in Wichita. It's nothing but a big political game. There are no jobs. The economy is way down. And in my case, you get off unemployment, and I guess I'm considered long-term unemployed, but they don't count me on any rolls. And there are no jobs to be had around here. So it's time to leave Kansas or get somebody else in office so that maybe we get some jobs going in this town, because it's almost impossible to survive here.
John, was there a time when you were a supporter of Governor Brownback? I mean, he made a strong appeal to Kansans saying, look, let's go conservative. Let's be a laboratory for the nation. Let's show how, if we put pedal to the metal on these conservative policies, let's show how they'll work. Were you with him on that, John?
I was a registered Republican, and now I'm a registered independent. And I think if everybody was smart, they'd all change parties because this party, I live a mile down the street from the Koch brothers here in Wichita, and it's nothing but their little agenda that they're playing with the teabaggers, and it's not done any good for Kansas.
John, we wish you luck there. We hear you're up against it, but we wish you luck, and we appreciate your call. Let me get one more from Kansas, and I'll come to you, Wint and Bob. McPherson, Kansas. Adam is calling. Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing today?
All right, thanks for calling, Adam. What do you see?
Well, you know, I'm calling from the perspective of a farmer. I'm actually in the field planting wheat right now.
Great.
And I'm pretty torn because I think from the ag perspective, I think Brownback has a better understanding and has done a lot in terms of water issues and that. At the same time, I'm not paying any taxes right now, which I don't want to pay any more than I have to, but I also believe in paying my fair share.
You're not paying any, Adam, because you're a business owner? Is that what exempted you, Brownback's tax cuts?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, farmers, yeah. And so in a state that has so much agricultural production, if you're a sole proprietorship, you're not paying tax at the state level, which just makes,
sure.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And especially I'm married to a teacher, and I'm seeing those her cuts in their school and the frustration that she's dealing with. And so it makes me pretty torn as a farmer married to a teacher.
With zero taxes now at the state level, but still wondering if that's the right way to go and a teacher for us. Adam, I appreciate your call as well. Winter, can you paint in the picture a little further here? Things have to be pretty bad in your estimation to move away from the Republican Party and endorse a Democrat. Can you give us more material sense of what has worried you, Wint?
Well, what's worried me are the things that John and Adam both mentioned. In the case of the agricultural economy, what's happened is the property taxes are going up as a result of Sam's economic policies, starvation that Sam has engaged in with respect to the income tax. And I think most of all, us Republicans believe in moderation. We believe in old-fashioned conservatism, and Sam has brought extremism. He has imposed his own real-life experiment, and most of us Republicans think that we don't have the authority, we don't have the power, we don't have the consent of people like John and Adam to have us be lab rats in Sam Brownback's experiment. And that's really what's happened. And when you think of it, it's really extreme. It's an extreme use of government power to utilize the government to enact an experiment when what happened here was it failed.
Bob Beatty, Sam Brownback is well known to us here at On Point. In his time as a U.S. senator, we spoke with him any number of times. He's a mild-mannered guy. He can sound I recall him sounding quite reasonable. I mean, he had some tough views on the social front. But our caller John from Wichita says that he's carrying out here what John called something like a little Koch brothers experiment. What's our caller getting at there, Bob? I do read here that Governor Brownback was a major recipient of Koch brother donations one way and another. Is this the agenda that Sam Brownback has always had? Did he get pushed into something that he hadn't articulated or that he hadn't been for before, Bob?
Well, that's a good question. Let me address that question by reminding, of course, everybody that Governor Brownback came from the U.S. Senate, mm-hmm. which, first of all, is not unprecedented, but it only happened once since 1961 in Kansas. William Avery came in the 60s from the U.S. Congress.
To come back home and be governor after
right.
that.
Right. Kansas governors simply do not come from Washington, D.C. They've always come from the state house or statewide office. Now, the reason why that's important is, and I think Governor Brownback has expressed this himself, there's a frustration, you know, serving in Congress, serving in the Senate. Not very much gets done. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard. I mean, and an individual senator can block something people have been working on for months. So Governor Brownback comes back to Kansas and finds, as many governors do, especially with a legislature that's in the same party as himself, wow, we can get so much done. This is incredible. You know, yeah. Literally a laundry list. This.
And not and little things, but big changes.
Well, just from very, very big things to very, very little things. And the cumulative effect of that is piled up to make it seem like that everything is so conservative and everything's happening. And this is actually happened to some previous Kansas governors. They do too much. They get, you know, they have, in a sense, this is also a danger of one-party government. There's nothing, there's no check. There was no check on this revolution. And I think really there was a point where it has become too much. I mean, we'll see the outcome of the election, but especially for moderate Republicans. And that key issue, we've been talking a lot about taxes, but that key issue for moderate Republicans is education. For years in Kansas history, moderate Republicans, especially all across the state, but especially around the Kansas City area, education is their number one issue. And when moderate Republicans started fearing that the education system, justified or not, was at risk in Kansas, that's when I really saw this turn. And Paul Davis, the Democratic opponent for Governor Brownback, taking a lead in the polls about a year ago that he has never given up. Davis, Brownback's been behind in the polls. He's never had a lead in the independent polls that I've seen. And I attribute that to the education issue, which we can talk about more, but it's been the key issue in this state.
It's a deep one. Win Winter, you're a moderate Republican. Did you see a betrayal of Kansas kids in the policies and impact of Brownback's work on the education front?
Yes, there's no question about the fact that, for example, the Kansas Legislative Research Department, a nonpartisan group, identified the fact that classroom spending, per pupil spending, is down under Sam Brownback. And as my friend Carol Rupp Lennon said, when Sam signed the biggest single one-time cut in state education history, he called it a victory for Kansas. And, you know, words do tell us what people think. And so Sam has... you know, you don't experiment with schools in Kansas, and Professor Beatty is absolutely correct about the importance of education in Kansas. But not only is it the urban areas around Kansas City and Wichita, but it's also out in the rural areas, because the rural areas, if you think about it, the most important foundation, the most important institution in smaller communities is schools. And if you want to really get people charged up out in the rural areas, talk about closing their schools. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very protective of education in Kansas. And, you know, Sam's essentially gutted the funding system. And so the schools are poised for even more cuts.
Which voters are contemplating right now. Dayton, Ohio. Anthony, you're calling. Thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
There's sort of a little strain going through these conversations. And what I want to know is why Brownback was elected in the first place. This is a man who's held public office, I think, he's since the mid-90s. He was in the House of Representatives. He's been a U.S. senator. Then he ran for governor. Brownback did not lie. He said he was going to do pretty much exactly what he did do. Someone may be able to call in and say, well, he didn't say so-and-so, but
yep.
The thrust of what he stood for was absolutely clear. And I can't remember the fellow that wrote the book, but the title is, and I read the book, the title is What's the Matter with Kansas? And the basic thesis of that book was that middle-class Kansans, poor Kansans, vote against their self-interest. As far as I'm concerned, Brownback is a harvested crop. He's what the average citizen in Kansas stood for, shot their mouth off about when they hadn't done their studying, and now that he's grown into a monster, everybody wants to talk about how much they value education. That clearly can't be the case. I mean, I was trying to look.
Anthony, we got it. You're tough, but you're very clear in your view there, and I want to take it to our Kansas guests. Bob Beatty, how about it? You hear that, talking about Tom Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Of course, that made a big splash some years ago. But you've got a tough observer there in Dayton, Ohio, saying, hey, Kansans, what's up? Didn't you get what you voted for? Didn't you know what Sam Brownback wanted to do?
Well, Anthony is in Ohio, but I think he knows more about Kansas than maybe a lot of people here. He's exactly right. And I've always said this about Governor Brownback. Is what Anthony said. Governor Brownback, from the beginning, laid out what he wanted to do, I've been to several of his State of the State speeches, and he lays it out for everybody. He says, "This is what I want to do, and we're going to be a shining star." I'm paraphrasing for the rest of the country, and it's all out there. Anthony is correct, and moderate Republicans, according to the big victory that Governor Brownback had in 2010, they voted for him. Now, you know, there is an element of Casablanca here. You know, the moderate Republicans saying, I'm shocked.
Yep.
That he's so conservative. Well, no, there's no reason they should have been shocked. But, you know, they hoped, maybe he'll fall in line with Kansas tradition and not be not govern conservatively. Anthony's correct. Not only did Governor Brownback lay out what he wanted to do, but after 2 years in office, he went after the moderate Republicans in the Kansas Senate.
Those that remained and took them out.
And they were shocked. I remember just a couple of years ago, they're like, oh, I can't believe he's doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, well, he wants to pursue conservative policies and make Kansas, a shining star. And if moderates stand in his way in the Kansas Senate, why would you be shocked that he would do this? So there is an element of this that Anthony is 100% correct about. And I always have said this about Governor Brownback. He doesn't have he's never had a hidden agenda. Mm-hmm. And Governor Brownback can rightly say, yes, I had a big mandate. I was elected by the people of Kansas to do the things that I said I wanted to do. That being said, mm-hmm. Politically, maybe he should have realized that he got elected as a reaction to Kathleen Sebelius and President Obama rather than a mandate, but that's another discussion.
Mm-hmm. Winter, how do you explain for our Dayton caller, is this homegrown Kansas impulse in the first place, including from moderate Republicans? Is it somehow did the Koch brothers impose this on Kansas? I read somewhere here that Kansans watch more Fox News than ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. Is it national media that they? How do you explain the votes that this was the popular will, Wendt?
Well, I think Professor Beatty makes a good point about the fact that Sam told us that he would reduce taxes, et cetera, et cetera. But what he didn't say was that the result of that experiment would be so traumatic. In fact, he said the opposite. He said that his tax cuts would result in a shot of adrenaline to the economy, that we would see job growth and economic growth and additional tax revenues, and that all ships would rise with the tide. Well, that just didn't happen. So, Sam, the question of competence comes in. You know, what we want from our governor and our government in Kansas is really pretty simple. Balance the checkbook. Take care of our basic essential services and stay within the lines. And Sam's experiment, you could say, gee whiz, great. He gave us what he wanted, but he didn't give us the results. The results have been completely the opposite.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about big GOP troubles in the deep red Republican state of Kansas. Democratic tradition there, too, but it's been Republican Sam Brownback, large and in charge as a senator, returned to be governor in recent years. He promised great things out of a revolution in a cornfield, a kind of far-right Republican revolution there, stripped down taxes, stripped down spending, and it hasn't been happy days are here again, unfortunately for Sam Brownback and many Kansans. Winter is with us. He's a Kansas Republican who is now supporting a Democrat to be governor next up. Bob Beatty's here, professor of political science at Washburn University. Gerald Seib, a Kansan, now the Wall Street Journal Washington bureau chief, joins us in a moment from Washington for national implications. Andy in Independence, Kansas, is joining us. Hi, Andy. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Sometimes I have to sit back and ask myself, is this my grandfather's Republican Party? In 2012, for the first time that I know of in state history, a sitting governor, a sitting Republican governor, openly campaigned against about one dozen moderate Republicans in the state Senate and was very successful in having them removed from office in that particular election.
Because they weren't pure enough with his strong...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I use that term moderate loosely because there were some in the 12 who were very conservative, but yet they may have voted against the governor in maybe one or two issues, but that was enough to incite this purge of what he thought was the moderates. Is this what we will now be seeing in Kansas, where the titular head of the party is going to openly advocate the removal of people of his own type?
Andy, I appreciate your call from Independence, Kansas. Let me take that one to Wint. Winter, a purge, Andy calls it, in Independence, Wint. What's the future here for the Kansas GOP internally? Is there a deep division? Will it mend after this? It's got to be tough right now.
Well, there's a very big division. We'll announce next week additions to our group. And the kind of approach that Gerald describes is exactly one of the things that's moving us. You know, Kansas, when you think about it, while we certainly are Republican, we have not traditionally been the kind of extreme Republicans that try to wield the kind of extreme power and radical points of view that Sam Brownback has. We are, after all, the state that brought us William Allen White, that brought us Dwight Eisenhower, that brought us Nancy Kassebaum, Bob Dole, one of the consummate deal makers in Washington. Bob Dole was the guy who, along with George Bush, put together the deficit reduction package that cut spending and raised revenues. So Bob Dole is really kind of the icon of Kansas Republicans, thoughtful, cautious, not extreme, and Sam has gone to that extreme, including his intolerance with points of view from people from his own party. And that's just not leadership. Leaders are people who keep their mind open to the thoughts of others, that are tolerant to those thoughts, and frankly, who are somewhat humble. And I think we'd all react a little bit better if Sam had the humility to say, you know, it didn't work out the way I thought it would. Let me back off. Ronald Reagan backed off 11 times in his presidency by raising revenues. So the leadership failures of Sam really go to some values like the lack of humility, like the lack of tolerance. And that's, I think, what's moving us Kansas moderate Republicans.
Marla in Wichita, Kansas. Marla, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you for this show. I'm a lifelong Kansan, registered Republican, and I want to talk about another area of our Kansas life that Brownback's leadership has assaulted. Historically in Kansas, despite our conservatism, we have an ethic that says we take care of our own. We take care of those less fortunate than we are. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that over decades in decisions that have been made at the state level. Contrast that with Governor Brownback turning away millions of dollars in Medicaid money under the Affordable Care Act that would have given our neighbors access to insurance. He's cut public assistance roles by more than a third, despite the fact that poverty has not declined. He just turned away $60 million in federal funds that would have allowed us to expand early childhood programs for young poor children. And as in terms of my family, this grand experiment to privatize Medicaid and turn it over to three insurance companies. We have a disabled son in our family, has just created bureaucratic nightmare and reduced services. He is turning Kansas into a place that most of us native Kansans don't even recognize anymore.
Well, Marla, I appreciate your call very much, and I wish all Kansas good luck. Thank you for calling there from Wichita. Wint Winter in Lawrence, Kansas, Bob Beatty in Topeka. Stand by for a moment. Joining us right now from Washington is Gerald Seib. He's Washington Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal, born and raised in Hayes, Kansas, graduate of the University of Kansas, was editor of the university newspaper there, the Daily Kansan, friend of On Point. Gerald Seib. Jerry Seib, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be with you.
We'll look at the national picture here, but just turn your eye on Kansas and what is unfolding in front of us here for a second, Jerry. What do you see?
You know, I think that Kansas is not as reliably deep red as maybe the national perception indicates. As the other guests have indicated already, you know, the governor's seat in Kansas has moved back and forth between the two parties over the years. I think its politics is more populist than conservative in the 2014 mode, perhaps. And one of the great tests this year is whether that's still the case or not. But I think what you're seeing is, to some extent, what everybody around the country is seeing, which is that when you sift everything away, there are two things that emerged this year. One is, it's still the economy, stupid, and that's the great question for Sam Brownback. And the second is that people are extraordinarily unhappy with the status quo, no matter who represents it, and that's Pat Roberts' problem. So in a way, I see in Kansas what I've always seen in Kansas, which is a state that's, you know, basically populist and not as predictable as some people think, but I also see the big national trends of the year coming to the fore there as well.
You follow national politics. Does the National Republican Party, including its tough, harder right components, which are substantial, do they see GOP overreach in the policies of Sam Brownback? Is it an object lesson for Republicans saying don't go down that road? Or is that still the road that they're looking to take the country down?
Well, I don't think they would see it as overreach. I think they would see it as a test of whether you can sell these policies. I think that's probably the way most national Republicans would see it. And they're seeing that proposition put to the test both in Kansas with Sam Brownback, but also in Wisconsin to some extent with Scott Walker.
But Jerry, that's not what our Kansas guests are saying. They say, yes, it was sold, but they're saying it hasn't worked. And so
I understand that. You asked me what national Republicans would say, and that's what I'm reflecting here. I don't think they would regard what Sam Brownback has done as overreach. I think that's the problem that the governor has on the ground in Kansas, which is there's the way it looks in Kansas and the way it looks from Washington, and that's what I'm trying to distinguish here.
Yeah. Winter, you're a Kansas Republican at the moment. What would you say to national Republicans about what they might take from the Kansas experiment?
I'd say avoid extremes, avoid experiments. The national Republican movement is caught up in the excitement, the emotion of extremes, the Ted Cruz's and frankly some intolerance. And I think that what in Kansas we are pretty simple folks, and I totally agree with Jerry. We're folks who just want government to work. And Sam's big problem is that we now have a competence question about Sam. It just hasn't worked.
But is it competence, or is it ideology?
No, I think that the certainly there are some of us who disagreed with Sam's ideology to some extent when he was in the U.S. Senate, but weren't really moved to oppose him. But you know, the problem with moderates is we're moderates, and Sam Brownback has caused all of us to be very passionate, and we want the government to work, and the experiment backfired. And when you have deficit spending, when you have credit downgrades, you think those things might come from Democrats, but no, they've come from Republicans. So that's his big problem in Kansas.
Yep.
It looks like incompetence, the inability to balance the checkbook. Bring the milk in, let the cat out in the morning. That's what we want.
Jerry, I'll bring that to you first. Justin in Wichita, Kansas. Justin, you're on. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for having me. I've been listening to your show as a Kansas Republican, and I can't say that I've heard one view that reflects what I believe makes up the state, which is a more conservative voter. What you have is very moderate Republicans speaking who are essentially Democrat lights, who want to blame Sam Brownback for what happened with the legislation, legislators. But honestly, it was the voters who voted those people out. And as somebody living in the state, I'm quite happy with where things are at today. I don't believe that education is a reflection of lower quality because of less money. We've been throwing money at education for years, and the quality has gone down. So I don't blame that on Sam Brownback, and I don't believe it's an experiment.
Do you think Sam Brownback's policies will stand? Do you think his policies will stand, Justin? Is this the horse that Kansas is going to ride into the future, Justin?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing right now is a push by education unions and moderate Republicans who were voted out and who had their feelings hurt, and liberals, frankly, who want to try to paint Sam Brownback as a hardcore conservative ideological zealot, and that's not going to fly with the voters of the state. We are conservative.
Justin, I very much appreciate your call. Jerry Seib, Arkansan in Washington, how do you read what's going on? We've heard from, 8, 9, 10 Kansans today, and Justin comes in and says, no, we are conservative, and this is what we want. I mean, the polls will determine this in November, but who's telling the story accurately here, Jerry?
Well, look, I mean, I think it depends on what the term conservative means in the Kansas context to some extent. And, you've been discussing that on and off.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kansas and Kansans are conservative with a small c for sure, which is to say they're not. There's kind of a Main Street conservatism, I've always thought, and I always thought Bob Dole embodied that pretty well, which is, take care of business, mind your own business, balance the books, and don't go looking for trouble. And I think the question is whether the Sam Brownback agenda embodies that or is counter to that. And that, I think, to some extent, is the question that's on the ballot in that race this fall, and in some other races as well. So I don't think there's any doubt that Kansas is a conservative place, but is that ideological conservatism or kind of conservatism in lifestyle and attitude, and are they the same thing? Those, I think, are the questions this race kind of frames, and frames, in an interesting and accurate way, I think.
Walt in Wichita, Kansas. Walt, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Okay. What do you see, sir?
Well, I see that the conversation so far is very much one-sided. It is not accurate at all about the amount of money spent on education. I served on the State Board of Education, and I found that Kansas is actually fourth in the nation the amount of money we spend from our state budget on our schools, our K-12 education. We've doubled, in fact, the amount of money spent per child. It's now increased every year under Sam Brownback, the amount of money we're spending in our schools. And none of the schools are basically in a hard time as far as the amount of money they receive. The fact is our state scores and our NAEP and ACT scores are all flat. They've been that way for 15 years. So we've doubled the amount of money. We're getting the same results. And Sam Brownback is one of the few governors that's actually tried to make sure that kids are reading by third grade, that we have opportunities for students to learn employable skills, has been a very strong champion of career and tech ed.
Walt, I've got it. Let me ask you very quickly about deficit spending and the downgrading in credit rating. How do you read those, Walt? What does that come from?
Well, it has to do with the recession, for one. Kansas has a small population by comparison to the rest of the states. We're only about 2.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very big impact on the aviation industry. We've had a lot of folks, because of the recession, have to cut back on the amount of planes that they buy. But that'll have a ripple effect throughout our economy in a small state.
Walt, I've got you on both fronts, and I appreciate your call. Our time is short here. Bob Beatty, how do you read it? We're hearing, radical extremism. You hear a couple of callers here saying, no, give it time, and it's what Kansans want. And it wasn't, not that it was such a paradise before either, Bob.
Yeah, I think both callers make excellent points. I would say Gallup has released its polling on the states and said that 56% of Kansans identify themselves as either moderate or liberal. I think that's three liberals and the rest are all moderates. But, it is a conservative state, probably more with a small c. In terms of Walt's comments, I didn't want to add that the key, I think, is perception. Everything he says actually may be correct, but my argument is that Governor Brownback's in trouble because of the perception among especially moderate Republicans that another 4 years they would put the schools in danger. And that's a perception. That's the perception that they see right now. And it's a close election. It's it's probably tied right now. So both callers are correct in that very much on November 5th, Governor Brownback could be reelected, and this path could continue that he wants to show the rest of the nation and in terms of how a conservative state can be run.
Jerry Seib, just a few seconds here. Greg Orman, independent, has been challenging incumbent U.S. Senator Pat Roberts in a very tough way. Could that race decide the Senate majority?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, the reality is the Republicans need to pick up six seats to take over the Senate. They've probably got five of those in hand already: Montana, West Virginia, South Dakota, Arkansas, and maybe Louisiana. Or at least they're close to being they're close enough that they can count on them. They think they need to get one more, but they can't lose anything. And losing Kansas could puncture the whole balloon, you know, for Republicans trying to take back control of the Senate. Totally out of the blue, not expected, and just a kind of an unorthodox race that I don't think you could have seen in any year except 2014. So it's a fascinating race, totally a surprise, and could become the biggest one of the night on election night.
Gerald Seib, Son of Kansas, Washington Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal. Jerry, thanks very much for being with us.
Sure.
Bob Beatty at Washburn University in Topeka. Professor Beatty, thank you very much.
Nice to be with you, Tom.
And Wint Winter in Lawrence, Kansas. Thank you very much for joining us today, Wint.
Tom, it was an honor. Thank you.
Kansas listeners, great to hear from you. Let's do it again. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.